Hello, this is Donna Reed, and I'll be reading with you today the Decatur Herald and Review on this Friday, August 9th. Let's look at the front page, some great, huge, beautiful pictures of the celebration that just happened in downtown Decatur with the big headline, "Thank you for making Decatur Celebration happen. Community support ensured successful return." You did it! Decatur Celebration returned, and it was a clear success. It was a success because of our community's support. That says so much about who we are. Months ago, Celebration seemed to be on life support, without an executive director, a board in disarray, and continued concerns about a consistent decline in finances. Some volunteers backed out. A real question was whether Celebration was done for good. Critics predicted there would be no way to right the ship in time. Those critics were wrong, as they so often are. Community members rallied, as they so often do. No one stood down. Jared Cox was brought in as executive producer. Generous sponsors stepped up. Music acts were booked. Red wristbands were sold in businesses and Central Park. And then, like magic, Celebration rose on downtown blocks and parking lots last week. It was back. Sure, there were changes here and there. And those same critics quibbled about crowd sizes and musical acts. It didn't matter. The charming razzle-dazzle Good Times Parade still brought out great crowds and kids perched on curbs. The carnival delighted. The weather was perfect. The corn dogs tasted incredible. So did those elephant ears lemon shake-ups, too. The sense of community spirit was still there as well in year 34. And then, as Celebration does, it all came to a close, just like that. The music stopped. The streets were emptied. By 11 p.m., the rides were disassembled. Most everyone was gone by morning. We speak a lot in our editorials about the need to come together as a community and as a people. We speak a lot. Last weekend showed what's possible with support and hard work. Last weekend showed what's possible with support and hard work. We also write a lot about transparency, and we will hear again. We still have questions about finances. This editorial board has said that the event, operated by a nonprofit group, using donations and contributions, is so important to the community that financial accountability is needed. The use of taxpayer-funded streets and resources also underscore the need for transparency. We're looking forward to seeing the results of the audit that's been in the works, as well as attendance figures. This much is clear. Our community deserves Decatur Celebration. We're already looking forward to next year. We have faith it won't be over. Looking at local and state news, we are here on page 2 with the headline, "State Leaders Celebrate Mueller Plans." Let's take a look. Pritzker, others praise decision on new foundry. Out of Decatur, state leaders are celebrating Mueller Water Products' decision to construct a state-of-the-art foundry in Decatur. Manufacturing has been a cornerstone of Illinois' economy for decades, and Mueller has long played a significant role in our state's success in the industry, Governor J.B. Pritzker said in a statement. With this renewed investment in the Decatur community, Mueller proves that Illinois has the skilled workforce and resources that businesses need to grow and thrive in our state. The decision was announced Wednesday. Construction is scheduled to start this year on the facility planned for a 30-acre site in the 2700 block of North Jasper Street, officials said. It will employ up to 250 workers, which are already part of the company's roughly 600-person workforce in Decatur. In addition to an existing foundry on Garfield Avenue, the company also operates a manufacturing facility on El Dorado Street. This new multi-year project represents new opportunities for the people of Decatur and will create hundreds of jobs both in the construction and operational stages of the facility, said State Senator Andy Menar, Democrat, Bunker Hill. With low unemployment, cutting-edge workforce development, and continued economic expansion, progress is continuing in Decatur and Macon County. Mueller said in a statement that its new facility will increase production capacity to meet current and future demands of Mueller customers and the industry. Mueller is committed to continuing to build and strengthen our American manufacturing footprint, said Scott Hall, President and CEO. Mueller has been in Decatur since the very beginning, and we are proud of the products that are built by our employees here. The new Decatur foundry is part of a multi-year project that will modernize our facility and provide operations efficiencies that will directly benefit our customers, employees, and the local community. Company officials have not said how much the new plant will cost or what will become of the current foundry once the new facility becomes operational. Aaron Guthrie, acting director of the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, said Mueller has been a major job creator and contributor to Illinois' manufacturing industry for over 100 years. Thanks to Governor Pritzker's ongoing commitment to supporting the business community and providing them with the tools they need to grow, Mueller will be able to expand their presence in Decatur and create earning opportunities for the next generation of working people. Agricultural disaster in Illinois. Here we have a picture above the article. It says months of above average rain caused farmers to delay planting as they struggled with soggy fields, such as the one shown here near Bethany. USDA declaration opens way for aid after soggy spring out of Springfield. The rain deluge of 2019 has prompted the U.S. Department of Agriculture to declare an agricultural disaster in all 102 Illinois counties, it was announced Thursday. The department had responded to a request from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker on July 3rd in the wake of a statewide flooding produced by 7 months of above-average rainfall. May sunk into the history books as the third wettest in state history. The federal declaration opens the way for farmers and agribusiness to tap resources, such as low-interest loans, to help them recover. A statement from Pritzker's office said such loans can be used to restore or replace essential property, cover production costs, pay essential family living expenses, reorganize the family farming operations. Illinois farmers have experienced months of hardship due to extreme weather across the state, but today's declaration means we can begin the road to recovery, Pritzker said. John Sullivan, director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture, welcomed the news. The Secretarial Disaster Declaration is a recognition of the extreme weather conditions Illinois farmers have faced this planting season, he said. I thank Governor Pritzker for his leadership in pursuing this relief and U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue for his responsiveness in providing this needed assistance to the Illinois agricultural community. Let's hear about another festival. Macon County Blue Mound Festival ongoing this weekend. Escape Room Inflatables part of this year's event. Out of Blue Mound? Can you smell the fried chicken yet? The annual Blue Mound Fall Festival returns this weekend, kicking off Thursday. The weekend's activities include a 5K fun run, adorable baby contest, pageant, car show, horseshoe pitching tournament, bingo, and music, including Imagine That Band at 7:30 p.m. Saturday. A parade starts at 11 a.m. Saturday and takes place on Lewis Street, Nile Street, and St. Marie Street. One thing the festival won't have this year, a carnival. Tom Ritter, chairman of the event, said the festival board had trouble booking a carnival and has made other provisions for families. Instead, we will have inflatables that are popular now, he said. There will also be an escape room, climbing wall, DJ music all three nights, and chickens and children's games such as sack races and backward races. Everyone will win. Tickets for the inflatables are $1 each, or 24 tickets for $20. Between noon and 4 p.m. Saturday, armbands will be available for unlimited play on the inflatables, the climbing wall, and the escape room. Those are $5 each. One of the difficulties the festival board encountered is the lack of a carnival availability. With the consolidation of carnivals, they end up going to larger cities, Ritter said. Carnival operators sometimes also supply food and concessions. Ritter said the festival prefers to have local groups sell food to support their fundraisers. They bring the funds back into the community, Ritter said. Available items will include lemon shake-ups, steak sandwiches, cotton candy, apples with caramel dipping sauce, walking tacos, funnel cakes, and burgers. The festival serves a char-broiled pork chop dinner on Friday evening and a deep-fried chicken dinner on Saturday afternoon. Yum. Most activities wrap up Saturday, but there is a church service at 10:30 a.m. Sunday at the Blue Mound United Methodist Church, 113 College Street, followed by an 11:30 a.m. lunch in Wise Park, provided by the Blue Mound Fire Department. Donations are appreciated. More festival information is available online at facebook.com/Blue Mound Fall Festival. Let's continue this morning with the story, New Law Eliminates Basic Skills Test for Teacher Prospects, from Decatur. The prospective teachers are no longer required to take the test of basic skills to receive a professional educator license in Illinois. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a Public Act 101-0220 on August 7th. Any teacher candidate who has completed all the other requirements for the license will be able to move forward without taking the test. The Illinois State Board of Education has identified 246 pending license applications that will be updated so that applicants may receive a license or continue fulfilling the other requirements. The new law also allows approximately 1,300 teaching candidates to begin student teaching in the fall semester. Illinois had more than 1,400 unfilled positions at the beginning of the 2018-19 school year. Decatur has 35 unfilled positions as of this week. Classes begin in Decatur Public Schools on August 14th. Decatur Education Association President Chrissy Pettit said she's glad to see the test eliminated. The one test of basic skills doesn't show how you build and foster relationships with students, work with your peers, and convey the content knowledge to your students, she said. Absolutely, it did create a barrier. Some people don't do well testing. Potential teachers shouldn't be judged on this one test. The test costs more than $60, according to the State Board of Education, which is an added burden in itself, and required all teacher candidates to demonstrate proficiency in complex skills such as geometry proofs, even if those skills were not related to the subject or grade level the candidate intended to teach. Candidates still must pass the EDTPA, a performance-based and subject-specific assessment for teaching to demonstrate skills in planning, instruction, and assessment, and covers the content relevant to the subject and grade they intend to teach. According to a statement from the Illinois State Board of Education, the agency supports licensure requirements beyond obtaining a university degree to help ensure that candidates prepared in any and all of Illinois' 57 teacher preparation programs can demonstrate the capacities necessary to teach effectively on day one in the classroom. Removing the requirement is a small but positive move, said Pamela Barnes, director of the School of Education at Millikan University. What became apparent over the years since its implementation as a requirement to receive a teaching license in Illinois is that the test was not at all basic relative to the content prospective teachers would eventually be teaching, Barnes said. Missing the cut score on the test became a stopping point for many promising education students. The Public Act is good news for our district in light of the severe teaching shortage, said Deanna Hillman, Director of Human Resources for Decatur Schools. The test of basic schools is no longer required. This is one less hurdle for out-of-state teachers and administrators obtaining Illinois licensure. This also helps individuals in our teaching assistant to teacher pipeline who found the basic skills test difficult to pass, as it was changed to the equivalent of an ACT score of 26. We appreciate the leaders of our state taking steps to address the teacher shortage here in Illinois. Let's continue on with an article, State Leaders Keep Blagojevich in Prison. Trump considers commuting former governor's sentence. Again, this is out of Decatur. Illinois political leaders from both parties on Thursday said former Democratic Governor Rod Blagojevich should remain in prison despite Republicans' U.S. President Donald Trump's statement that he was considering commuting the sentence of the ex-governor. Trump told reporters aboard Air Force One on Wednesday night that he is very strongly considering commuting the federal corruption sentence, saying Blagojevich has been in jail for 7 years over a phone call where nothing happens. GOP U.S. Representatives Rodney Davis of Taylorville, John Shimkus of Collinsville, Adam Kinzinger of Shanahan, Mike Bost of Murfreesboro, and Darren LaHood of Peoria released the following statement regarding the comments. It's important that we take a strong stand against pay-to-play politics, especially in Illinois, where four of our last eight governors have gone to federal prison for public corruption. Commuting the sentence of Rod Blagojevich, who has a clear and documented record of egregious corruption, sets a dangerous precedent and goes against the trust voters place in elected officials. We stand by our letter and urge the president to not commute Rod Blagojevich's sentence. They sent a similar letter to Trump in 2018. Blagojevich began serving a 14-year federal prison sentence in 2012. He was convicted on 11 criminal counts related to his effort to sell the former U.S. Senate seat vacated by Barack Obama when he became president. Blagojevich was also convicted on 6 counts relating to campaign contribution shakedowns, including 1 count which said he essentially tried to trade $8 million in added state funding to pediatric specialists for a $25,000 campaign donation from a hospital CEO. In 2015, 5 of those counts were thrown out in the appellate courts, although his 14-year sentence was reimposed months later. Illinois House Minority Leader Jim Durkin, a Western Springs Republican, said Trump's words were politically driven and part of a theme of the president aiming his actions at certain groups in the United States who don't believe in the federal government. He specifically mentioned the former FBI director and, you know, somehow blaming him for this overreach by the FBI and Department of Justice is just wrong for those of us who live through this, Durkin said. I don't think he understands the different levels of corruption which the former governor was convicted of. Speaking at the Illinois State Fairgrounds on Thursday afternoon, Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker said Blagojevich should serve his full sentence. I think President Trump has some pretty important things that he ought to be dealing with, not the least of which is the mindless killings over the last weekend. Gun safety. I wish he'd focus on that. Governor Blagojevich should remain in prison, Pritzker said. Both Pritzker and Trump have a history with the disgraced former governor. During Pritzker's successful 2018 gubernatorial campaign, audio tapes of Pritzker and Blagojevich surfaced, in which the two men can be heard discussing who should be appointed to Obama's vacated Senate seat. Those recordings were obtained by an FBI wiretap via the corruption investigation during Blagojevich's governorship, which led to his eventual convictions. They were later published by the Chicago Tribune. Pritzker was never charged with any wrongdoing by the FBI, and the phone recording did not implicate him in any of Blagojevich's crimes. The Blagojevich tapes did, however, force Pritzker to apologize for comments he made about former Illinois Senate President Emil Jones, calling the African-American leader too crass for an appointment to the vacant U.S. Senate seat. Blagojevich was also once a contestant on Trump's Celebrity Apprentice television show in 2010, after he was impeached as Illinois governor, but before he was convicted of the various crimes. Trump fired Blagojevich from the show in the season's fourth episode. On Twitter, Blagojevich's wife, Patty, said Trump's comments make us very hopeful that our almost 11-year nightmare might soon be over. Tourism brought in $158 million to Macon County last year. Tourism generated $158 million in the Macon County economy last year, according to the Illinois Office of Tourism. The department said $155 million came through travel expenditures and $2.89 million in local tax revenue during the year. Terry Hamill, executive director for the Decatur Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, said the county looks forward to attracting visitors as leaders continue to work to develop the region as a tourist destination. Some large events hosted in Macon County include the Farm Progress Show, Decatur Celebration, Mid-State Soccer Mid-State Cup, Decatur Foresight LBGA Classic, and National USA ASA Softball Championship. Statewide, $41.7 billion came from international and domestic travel. The tourism industry employs 5,200 across the state, with about 3.4% being in Macon County. Domestic visitor volume estimates come from D.K. Shiflett, and international visitor numbers are from Tourism Economics. Visitor expenditures, tax revenue, and job estimates are produced by the U.S. Travel Association. Tourism is a critical part of our economy, helping to boost local and state tax revenue and create jobs, said Jan Kimmerling, acting director of the State Office of Tourism. And here, man steals $2,000 in perfume and drinks from local Walgreens, indicator. Police are seeking a man who stole over $2,000 worth of perfume and energy drinks from a Decatur Walgreens. The man entered the South Shore store at 420 West 1st Street Drive at 5:37 p.m. Tuesday and took multiple perfume bottles and energy drinks, said Sergeant Chris Copeland. Police are reviewing the surveillance footage, he said. Let's continue another local story here on page A5, the Decatur Herald Review. Headline: Police, man says friend on meth when attacked. Man, woman both facing charges out of Decatur. A 41-year-old man told police he had to defend himself when his 44-year-old girlfriend attacked him after a 6-day-long meth binge, court documents say. According to a sworn police affidavit at 1:22 a.m. Thursday, a Decatur police officer was sent to the 2000 block of North Edward Street in reference to domestic violence. The 44-year-old woman was standing in the street in front of the home and told officers her boyfriend slapped her in the face 6 or 7 times while she was sleeping, the sworn affidavit said. The officer said she was bleeding from her mouth and had a swollen right ear. According to court documents, the officer spoke with the man who told police the couple was lying in bed when the woman randomly attacked him. He said the woman had been awake for 6 days using meth and headbutted him in the nose, the sworn affidavit said. The male suspect told police his girlfriend kicked him in the face after he fell to the floor. Court documents say the man told officers the woman was coming after him when he got on his feet, so he had to defend himself. He said he caused the injuries to the woman, but made no further comments. Both suspects were arrested and booked into the Macon County Jail in lieu of $3,000 bond each. They each face one preliminary charge of domestic battery, which will be subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Let's look back here at the Herald and Review Almanac. Today's highlight in history: on August 9, 1945, 3 days after the atomic bombing of Hiroshima, Japan, a U.S. B-29 super fortress codenamed Boxcar, dropped a nuclear device, Fat Man, over Nagasaki, killing an estimated 74,000 people. On August 9th, this date, in 1854, Henry David Thoreau's Walden, which described Thoreau's experiences while living near Walden Pond in Massachusetts, was first published. In 1902, Edward VIII, was crowned King of Britain following the death of his mother, Queen Victoria. In 1910, the U.S. Patent Office granted Alva J. Fisher of the Hurley Machine Company a patent for an electrically powered washing machine. In 1936, Jesse Owens won his 4th gold medal at the Berlin Olympics as the United States took first place in the 400-meter relay. In 1969, actress Sharon Tate and 4 other people were found brutally slain at Tate's Los Angeles home. Cult leader Charles Manson and a group of his followers were later convicted of the crime. In 1974, Vice President Gerald R. Ford became the nation's 38th chief executive as President Richard Nixon's resignation took effect. In 1982, a federal judge in Washington ordered John W. Hinckley, Jr., who had been acquitted of shooting President Ronald Reagan and 3 others by reason of insanity, committed to a mental hospital. In 1985, a federal judge in Norfolk, Virginia, found retired Navy officer Arthur J. Walker guilty of 7 counts of spying for the Soviet Union. Walker, who was sentenced to life, died in prison in 2014 at the age of 79. Well, that's going to be it for our first half hour reading here on Friday, August 9th, the Decatur Herald Review. This is Donna Reed. Stay with me. We'll look at some obituaries and other news coming up in the second half hour.